Well, good morning, everyone. We're turning today to the New Testament for two readings. Two passages in the New Testament. Hebrews chapter 11 is the first passage. We're continuing our little study of pictures of Christ, and we've been looking at Moses. Moses is very much one who presents to us in his life pictures of Christ. You remember how I pointed out to you that he himself said concerning the Messiah that God would raise him up and he would be a man, a prophet, like me, he said. Marvelous statement. And it's a statement that could only be made under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Nobody would ever take upon themselves to say, the Lord Jesus is like me. That's a statement we would never, never make. But Moses made it. And he made it because the Holy Spirit put the words in his mouth. And of all the men upon the earth that ever lived, there was none who presents to us a more wonderful picture of the Savior than Moses. Now, we've been looking at a number of likenesses to the Savior in the life of Moses. We're looking at number 6 this morning. And I might just say that if my calculations are right, this is our 40th study since school started in September. So how quickly time goes past. Now let's read from Hebrews chapter 11. We'll start at the verse 24. This Hebrews 11 is all about faith. It's all about how faith manifested itself in the lives of men and women since the dawn of time. And there is a highlighting of certain individuals showing how faith worked in their lives. And here we're reading about Moses. Verse 24, by faith Moses, when he was come to years, that is when he reached maturity, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. That means that is what he was called up until that time. That's what he was looked to be up until that time. He was considered the son of Pharaoh's daughter, a high-ranking prince in the household of Pharaoh. But by faith, it says, Moses refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter when he came of years, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming or counting, doing a little bit of a calculation. He put in the balances, as it were, all the riches of Egypt and all the honor that went with his standing. And then he put on the other side Christ, standing with Christ and for Christ, and the honor that would come from that. And they put these two in the balance, and they found there's just no comparison. It is much greater to suffer the reproach of Christ. It's greater riches, verse 26, than the treasures in Egypt. For he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. Now what does that mean? He had respect unto the recompense of the reward. He had regard, took note of how it would all end. How will the house of Pharaoh end? In ruin. How will the cause of Christ end? In glory. Triumph. Which am I going to side with? That which is destined to ruin, or that which is destined to eternal glory? Oh, he says, I'm going to stand with Christ. Or as we read here, he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. There was a reward for being a prince in Egypt, but it didn't compare to the reward of serving Christ and standing with him. Verse 27, by faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Isn't that a strange statement there at the end? Seeing him who is invisible? How can you see one who is invisible? Well, if you're a Christian, every day you should see one who is invisible. The Lord Jesus. He's invisible to the world, but we see him by faith in the Word of God, and we keep him before our eyes and constantly look upon him. And you see, Moses, he looked at Pharaoh, looked at his power, looked at his rage and his wrath against the Hebrews, but he wasn't afraid, for he had his eyes upon the one who is invisible to most men, and seeing Christ, he didn't fear Pharaoh. He knew that Christ was greater than Pharaoh. Now, this morning, very quickly, I want to show you that there is a parallel, another parallel between Moses and the Lord Jesus, and it is seen in the fact that both of them renounced much. You know what renounced means? They gave up much for the sake of the people of God, and the cause of God and the honour of God. We have just read of what it is Moses gave up. Moses was a prince in the house of Pharaoh, but he gave it up. He gave up the riches. We are told that. Look at the passage we read again. Verse 26, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. Now that little statement causes us to realize that the treasures in Egypt belonged to him. He had a right to them. He had a claim on them. But he gave them up for the sake of the people of Israel. And in that, he was like the Lord Jesus Christ. He was like the Lord Jesus. And I want us very reverently to turn back in the New Testament to another passage of Scripture and read there what we are told about the Lord Jesus. Philippians, who can find it? Philippians and the chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2, we'll read from verse 5. And you older ones in particular, recognize that this is a parallel passage to what it is we have just been reading. A parallel passage. What was said of Moses in Hebrews 11, here we find something very, very similar said about the Lord Jesus Christ. The great difference, of course, is that what is said about Moses is, as it were, on level 1. But what is said about the Lord Jesus Christ is on a level infinitely higher. What Moses did was wonderful, but it doesn't really compare. Though there is a likeness, it doesn't compare with what the Lord Jesus did. Let's read then. Philippians chapter 2, the verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. That's what a Christian ought to ever seek to do. Have a mind like the Lord Jesus. A mind that thinks, a mind that functions, a mind that dwells upon that which the Lord Jesus dwelt upon. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Now that might seem a complicated statement, but really, it's not. It simply is saying that when the Lord Jesus Christ claimed to be God, to be equal with the Father, for he did say on many occasions that he and the Father were one. So, when he claimed to be equal with the Father, to be God, he was not stealing something. He was not committing an act of robbery. If you take that which is yours, that's not robbery. If you take that which is mine, that's robbery. When the Lord Jesus claimed to be God, he wasn't stealing something. He was just laying hold upon that which was his. That's what that verse means. But the next verse begins with the word but. So we're about to have a contrast set before us. We have just been told that Jesus was God, but even though he was God, he made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Moses turned his back on the riches and the glory of Egypt for the sake of the people of Israel, in order to be their leader, their guide, in a sense their redeemer. But look at the Lord Jesus. He who was God, and who held the highest and most glorious position in heaven, turned his back upon it all, set it all aside. And I can't improve upon the words of the Holy Ghost, and I won't attempt to. I'll just simply say again what is stated here. He made himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross, one of the most cruel forms of death. So the Lord Jesus turned his back on heaven and descended, went down, even unto death for the sake of his people. Now, as I say, Moses gives us something of a picture, but how far short the picture falls from the reality. Moses suffered much, bore with much as he led the people, was again and again humbled, was the subject of their criticisms and their murmurings and their mutterings and their rebellion. But none of this, though it reflected what the Lord Jesus did, none of this really compares with what the Lord Jesus suffered. You and I can really not understand, for instance, what it means for the Savior to take upon him the likeness of man. God becoming man, hiding his glory, hiding his majesty, veiling himself in the likeness of man. Oh, I tell you, there is a mystery there, a glory there, that we cannot comprehend. We cannot comprehend. But this is what the Lord Jesus did. What for? What for? To save sinners. To save sinners. It talks about Moses not counting the riches of Egypt to be of any great value in comparison to serving Christ. I'm turning you to one more passage in the New Testament. 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and the verse 9. Whenever you come to some verses in Scripture, you're inclined to say this is one of the greatest verses in Scripture, and there are so many that deserve that description. You feel that by highlighting one, perhaps you are minimizing others, when in fact all of the Word of God is so glorious. But listen to what we read here, 2 Corinthians 8, and the verse 9, "But ye know the grace, the kindness, the unmerited favor of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be made rich." There is the purpose of the cross, surely simply understood, not hard to understand. He became poor, that you might be made rich. And he took your poverty, and you get his riches. That's what happens when you become a Christian. And to think that people complain at times, Christians complain at times, and yet Jesus Christ has imparted to them his riches, taken upon himself our poverty. What does it mean, our poverty? A man who is poor is a man in debt, and you and I are in debt to God. We owe God honor, obedience, submission. None of these we pay him. None of these we give. And constantly our debts have been increasing. That's why the Lord Jesus taught us in the prayer that's called the Lord's Prayer, but it's really the disciples' prayer, "Forgive us our debts." Our debt to God. How was our debt paid? At the cross. The Lord Jesus took our poverty, and he suffered the punishment. He made the payment of all that we owed to God, and there was bestowed upon us his riches. Calvary just did not wipe out our debts. That would be wonderful. But Calvary bestowed upon us infinite riches, even the righteousness of the Lord Jesus. All that he is in holiness and purity became ours. That's what it speaks of when it speaks of us being clothed in the robe of his righteousness. And that's what we are today. We might not look it. Aye, and many times we don't feel it, but nevertheless, that's how it is with us. You know, there's many a wee boy and a wee girl born into rich families, and what they don't know is that their mother and father has opened in the bank an account for them, and they've put a vast amount of money there. It's theirs. One day, when they're of age, they'll be able to use it, but they're too young to understand that it's theirs, that they're rich. You and I don't fully understand the riches that is in God's bank in our name. Moses had a view of that, you see, when he said, "Who cares about the riches of Egypt? I want to serve the Lord Jesus and inherit the riches that have been made mine in heaven. That was the thinking of Moses. And just close by referring back again to that passage in Philippians chapter 2. In the verse 9 it says, having told us how the Lord Jesus humbled himself, even unto death, wherefore, because of this, God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, and things in earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. I'm just going to close by examining two things. I'm going to examine your knees, and I'm going to examine your tongue. I'm going to ask, have you bowed the knee to Jesus Christ? It says every knee should bow. Have you bowed the knee? Then it says every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Have you done that? Have you done that? Have you said, Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior? He's my Lord and Savior. Have you done that? Have you done that? Because we should do that in the light of what the Savior did at Calvary. Lord, bless your word to our hearts today. Oh, put your hand upon us and grant to us an understanding of you, of the Savior, that is set forth here in these passages we have looked at. May we see in what Moses did, in renouncing Egypt in all its glory, a picture of what the Lord Jesus did when he became our Savior. Answer prayer we ask now in Jesus' name. Amen.